He's calling, wake up, child. It's your time to shine. You were born for such a time as this. Such a time.
Sometimes you'll see people at the altar broken. They're worshiping God because they see, if God had not brought me out of that addiction would have took me out. If God had not brought me out of that bad relationship, I'd be in misery. And if God has not brought me out of that anger and that abusive relationship, if God has not taken that away, I've got to worship Him. I've got to fall down at His feet. I've got to cry out to Him. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I was lost, but now I'm found. I'm blind and now I see. How dare you chastise those who worship God in spirit and truth because they're excited.
Thank you for joining us here at Westside Christian Fellowship, located in Leona Valley, California, 1 hour north of Los Angeles.
Today on Regaining Lost Ground, hear the second part of a restful message from Pastor Shane titled, From Desolation to Restoration. Psalm 51, 10 through 12 is a heart's cry from King David, which says, Create in me a clean heart, God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and sustain me with a willing spirit. Are you feeling in need of recharge, or even a new life? Jesus said, Come to Him, all who are heavy burdened, and He will give you rest. Today, Pastor Shane explains this hope in Jesus and that the only hope for today is King Jesus.
You can hear the whole message at Pastor Shane's YouTube and Rumble channels. Make sure to subscribe today. For more information, visit us online at westsidechristianfellowship.org. We also encourage you to hear more truth from Pastor Shane with the Eidelman Unplugged weekly podcast. And now, from Westside Christian Fellowship in Leona Valley, California, here's Pastor Shane Eidelman.
There's no joy and grace and forgiveness. They're walking around writing down, they didn't do this, they didn't do this, they didn't do this. They're mean-spirited, they're angry, they're arrogant, they're critical. Same rules. Well, I don't go to the movies and watch those things. Well, neither do I, but I do it because I don't want to draw me away from my relationship with the Lord. I love joy, Jesus, and there's joy. You see the difference? And so we get the best of both worlds in the church. We get the joy-filled and then the legalistic Pharisees. And you know, because they're just pointing their finger at you and they're trying to discourage you. I mean, just think about it. Think about the religious leaders. What do you think of when you think of them? Watch Passion of the Christ and you'll get a pretty good view of what they look like. And there was no joy in their hearts. It was just following the rules. That's why Jesus said, you strain at a gnat. You'll block your mouth and don't let this little zzzz. You ever get those little bugs? You strain at a gnat, and when they did, they had to get it out. But you swallow a camel. It's hypocrisy. That's why He called them out. You whitewashed tombs. You look so great on the outside, but you're dead inside. You vipers. We forget that Jesus got a little bold. If you call the religious leaders of His day vipers, you better run for the hills because you're getting stoned. Vipers. Call them out boldly. He threw over the money changer's table. Amen. I shared with you guys Friday, but I had to explain to my daughter a little bit of that when I went to Planet Fitness and had a talk with the manager about allowing men to go into the women's bathrooms. And it's okay to say this, or is it too late now, I guess? You know, she's a little shell-shocked, and rightly so, and I don't blame her, but like, you got to explain. It's not just all love. Because true love defends. Actually, we can hide. Let me tell you the truth. It's actually easier to be a coward. Is it not? I mean, I'm sitting at home for a week. My wife already went in there a week ago. I'm like, oh, God. Just counsel online. Just, I don't want to deal with this stuff. Easy. I'm not going to upset anybody. Just love them. Go team. But love also defends. Love also speaks the truth. Think about it. Jesus Christ, took the, I'm not telling you to do this, but he took the money changer tables. It was okay for the money changers to actually be in the temple. They had to convert the denarii with a different currency. But what they're doing is ripping the people off. I mean, would you have loved to see this? Mild, meek, little Jesus, the picture's carrying a little lamb. He doesn't tell them to clean up their table either. He just throws it up and then he starts to make a whip. Why is that not enough? Probably because they're trying to get stuff and upset. He says, I'm getting you out of here. My Father's house shall be called a house of prayer, not a den of thieves. Zeal for his house has consumed me. Zeal for his house has consumed me. And that's why when you know it's righteous indignation, you say, zeal for the truth and purity and holiness has consumed me. How dare you, will you, you perverted monsters, begin to push this agenda. That is true love, because I care for the little ones more than this woke culture. I'm just tired of cowards telling us how we should live. It's actually the cowards that brought Hitler to fame. Matthew 28 continues, and behold, there was that great earthquake. Again, another earthquake. For the angel of the Lord descended from heaven, and he came and rolled back the stone from the door. Now, this is interesting. He didn't do that to let Jesus out. He's gone. He's out. Now, I know a lot of you thinking, where did he go? Jesus led captivity. There's different views. Jesus went to hell. No, there's a place called, it's a holding place of the body. Sheol, Gehenna is a different term. And you have these terms in the Old Testament, the New Testament. And you see in the New Testament, there was a gulf, Abraham, bosom, and this Lazarus was on this side, this evil man was on this side. Bottom line, he went, they believe, to this place, the holding place, waiting for that resurrection. And so it's an important time for him to wait for this final moment. And so the stone was rolled back, and the angel, I love this part, he sat on it. I mean, you have to get the sticks and you've got big, and you probably roll it like this, and the guys get behind you and they start, you know, as you roll it, you put a little rock underneath it. Guys, you know what I'm talking about? And you begin to roll this stone away. How are the soldiers sleeping? Right here. Did you know that's still what they say in Jerusalem today? They stole his body while they slept. That's impossible, because also those guards would lose their life. They would be killed. And so he's pushing this stone away. He just sat on it, and he looked like lightning. His face was like lightning, representing power, and his clothing was white as snow, representing purity. And the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. Here's what really happened to the soldiers. Here's what really happened to the soldiers. They feared God. And I thought of this all week. Do you fear God? Do you fear God? Oh, here, those, you're, are you, and I've had people ask me, are you one of those hell, fire, and brimstone, the fear of God guys? Like, well, what does the Bible say? God is love? Yes, let's preach God's love. But it also says, Jesus told me to fear him. Psalms, Proverbs, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. You want to know, you want to get direction for our nation, even economically, or for your families, or you want wisdom, have the fear of God, because then it changes how you live. That's why what I mentioned earlier, that they came out on Friday and the White House said, by virtue of the authority vested in me by the Constitution and the laws of the United States, I do hereby proclaim this day as Transgender Day of Visibility. That's blasphemy. That is wrong. But why? Because they don't fear God. Or I should say, they don't fear the right God. Because a lot of them will say, oh, I believe in God. I like Jesus' teaching. But to them, I can picture it now. God is this, you'll hear me say sometimes, this cosmic ball of love. Shh. Man, he's just everywhere. He loves me. And there's people passing out pamphlets. Have you seen them at the gas stations that God was a she? Mother God on their pamphlet. Do you fear God? No, he's spirit. He does not. The others who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. But Jesus, a physical God, chose to come in the form of a male body. all these blasphemous things. They do not fear God. And you'll see that's why we have decayed so much, is we used to fear God at least. At least they fear God. That's a reverence and a respect. Many of you fear, you're more afraid of an airplane than God. But the angel answered and said to the women, "Do not be afraid." You need to hear that this morning. Many of you came here because you are concerned, you are afraid. And he said, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He is risen." Now, this underlying part gets me excited sometimes, so I'm going to try to contain it, though. As he said, if you can just get your heart back to having faith on what God said, there's no need for fear, there's no need for worry, there's no need for confusion if we focus on God said it. God said it. And if he says something, what can change that? What can stop that? Again, some of the promises are conditional, right? If you do this, I will do this. But Jesus, and you just reflect on these things, whoever hears these sayings of mine, Jesus said this, whoever hears these sayings of mine, what we're preaching today, and he does them, he actually applies them, I will liken him to a man who built his house on the rock. And when the winds came and the flood came, it did not fall. Whoever, come to me, all who are weak and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. What I said earlier, I am the way, the truth, the life. Nobody can come to the Father except through me. I am the light of the world. He who believes in me will be set free. Come to me, all who are weak and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Those are promises you can take to the bank. I live off those. That is my oxygen. That is my spiritual breath. That is the depth of my relationship. If we have not the promises of God, and we follow some type of God who like Elijah mocked, and he said, "Where's your God? Is he on vacation? Is he using in the restroom?" But let the God who answers by fire, let him be God. And that God showed himself to be true. And come and see the place where the Lord laid. I love that about God. Come and see. That's why we invite people to church. That's why we love to open the Word of God and say, look, come and see. Taste and see that God is good. Seek him and you will find him. Listen, he who has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit of God is saying. There's a call to come in and taste and see that God is good. And isn't it challenging because it's that constant call, come and see. Come and see, come and see. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And then Matthew 28:8 goes on to say, so they went out quickly, I bet they did, from the tomb with fear and great joy. Oh, what a wonderful combination, isn't it? The fear of God and the joy of God. Boy, you want to live a powerful life. You want to deal with all these issues going on. Have the fear of God and the joy of God. They go together. In the book of Acts, I think it says the church began to do many miracles and power was upon the church. And it said they walked in the fear of the Lord with great joy and great boldness. There is, guys, there's no other way to experience true joy and peace than to have that relationship. Do you know I'm not saying anything that they didn't say 2,000 years ago? They might have scrolls maybe to open Paul's letters, but they would say the same exact things. So our excitement should accompany faith, shouldn't it? Now we don't always stay there, amen? Difficult days. Feel great today, but come tomorrow, ask me again. But there should be an excitement. I have a right relationship with the God of the universe. I can pray whenever I want. I can go in and shut myself in my prayer closet and God will answer. God will listen. God will direct me. God will fill me. You might get a little excited. There might be some excitement behind genuine faith. So it does beg the question, if somebody doesn't have excitement, do they truly have that relationship? Because what we're excited about reveals a great deal about our hearts, doesn't it? What we're excited about. All these people getting excited about all these different things. Because what you're excited about is ultimately what you worship. Now, of course, we're going to have different, you know, if the Dodgers win, I'm excited. You know, of course, there's different, you know, there's excitement levels. This year, if you get a tax return, excited. You know, you watch those gas prices come down. There's, you know, it's okay to get, because those fall underneath, you know, general excitement. But there should be an excitement about, and that's what we love about what we try to do here at this church. People come with the spirit of expectation. I don't know how many songs. I don't know how long I'm going to preach. I don't know what's going to happen in the prayer room. But we've been having salvations, baptism all the time. People have been set free, and these, we come excited. I'm excited to worship God. I'm excited to get here. Now, with that excitement, though, will come seasons of difficulty where you get up and you don't feel like coming. You don't feel like reading the Bible. Anybody relate, or is this a spiritual group at 8:30? Okay. So it's not always there. Thank God we don't live off excitement. It's a good reminder what I say often. Your feelings are not the engine of your train. They're the caboose. So your feelings don't drive you around. They follow right decisions. Or they follow wrong decisions. The feeling of depression. Or anger or fear. And so we see this point now. They're going out quickly. And they went to tell the disciples. And as they're going to tell the disciples, Jesus met them and he stopped them. He said, rejoice, rejoice. He met them. Has Jesus truly met you? And again, back to this word, I don't want to keep belaboring the point, but do you have the joy of salvation? The joy of salvation. Again, I'm not saying life's not challenging. I'm not saying you don't get depressed sometimes. Some of the best preachers you've ever heard, especially even hundreds of years ago, struggle with depression, struggle with anxiety, struggle. What we struggle with is not who we are, but also with that relationship, with having that right relationship, the byproduct is joy. There is joy. Do you have that joy of salvation? And so they came and they held him. Can you picture this? I don't know if he's just like, surprise. Because they're running on the road. They're getting, can you believe? And then here he is. Here he is. And they fell down. I bet they did. And they worshiped him. And that's why sometimes you'll see people at the altar and sometimes they're broken. They're worshiping God because they see if God had not brought me out of that addiction would have took me out. If God had not brought me out of that bad relationship, I'd be married and in misery. And if God has not brought me out of that anger and that abusive relationship, and if God has not taken that away, and oh, I've got to worship him. I've got to fall down at his feet. I've got to cry out to him. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I was lost, but now I'm found. I'm blind, and now I see. How dare you chastise those who worship God in spirit and truth, because they're excited. There's an excitement there. And that's why I often say the dead church, the cemetery church, you might want to wake up. We should not be dead to the things of God. And then Jesus said, do not be afraid. Go and tell my brethren. Go to Galilee, and there I will see them. It's interesting. If you look up the word Galilee, in short, you look up the root word, and then you kind of put it all together. It can mean a circle. It can mean a circle. And I don't know why I added this. But I think many people, especially on Easter, Resurrection Sunday, after a long series of events, the same situation that you started with still exists. Some of you need to come full circle this morning. Break this circle of defeat and failure and addiction. Break this circle of playing games with God. You're going to keep going around and around and around doing the same thing, expecting a different result. Anybody know what the definition of insanity is? That's, I'm telling you the truth, that's the definition of insanity. Oh, that's insane. Such and such is insane. What it means is you have no sanity because you can't see that you're doing the same thing and getting the same result. Same thing, getting the same result. Same thing, getting the same result. At what point do you say, you know, this is insane? There is no hope outside of Jesus Christ. There is no hope. That's why we go through different seasons. Any women go on shopping sprees all the time? Or men, I kind of went through that season too, where there's what they call midlife crisis. And you go through this and you try this and let me try this. And you realize it's not getting me anywhere. We need to come full circle back to this relationship with Jesus. Maybe some of you have lost it. Maybe you've walked away. Maybe you've drifted. It's time to come full circle and come back. And I even talk about full circle with unbelievers, even though they didn't have a genuine relationship with God at the beginning, they can come full circle back to how God originally created us. Did you know God originally created us with Adam and Eve? To have that relationship with Him, to already not need Jesus necessarily, because we already had that right relationship. We didn't need the cross because their sin had not entered our life yet. And so that's why they called it the Adamic nature, the nature of Adam. Because of his fall, we've all fallen. And after he fell, Eve fell, then we needed that sacrifice. So maybe coming full circle back and having that relation. Don't you think the most important thing on planet Earth right now is to restore that relationship? To restore that broken relationship? Well, that's your opinion. There's other religions out there. How do we know this is true? Ask God. Ask God. And if you're sincere, He will show you. Lord, I want to believe. I hear it, but I'm having a hard time. I don't know if it's me. I don't know what's going on. But the enemy will plant seeds as well. There's a literal devil. There's a literal demonic realm. I'm not getting weird because I'm just quoting Jesus. He seemed to believe it was pretty important. And then Paul goes on to say, your battle actually is not with flesh and blood. Your battle is in the spiritual realm, fighting good and evil. This is how I fight my battles, right? With worship and the word and obedience to God's word. And then we come to this point where the soldiers are bribed. Now, while they were going, behold, some of the guard, I just caught this morning. Not all of the soldiers, it appears. I can guarantee I know where the other ones went. They probably headed to Egypt. Or they got out of there. Only some of, because if you see that, this angel looking like, the brightness of light, and he just rolled back the stone, sitting on it, and Jesus is gone. Yeah, it's a game changer. You're going to start to really evaluate. And so some of them happened to come back, and they knew they would actually get killed because the body was gone. And they told the chief priests all that happened. This still amazes me. These Pharisees that wanted to kill him, they hated him because of his popularity, his notoriety. He was taking believers and telling them the truth and calling them vipers. And so they told the chief priest, can you imagine these? I don't think they're casual. Hey, by the way, let me tell you what happened last night. They're probably sweating, running. You're not going to move. Oh my gosh. What happened? What happened? This, you're not going to believe me. And they're all like, and just this confusion. And they said, okay. Just say that they stole the body. Wouldn't you think they'd say, what? Are you kidding me? He said he would rise again, and you saw all this? Let's go see the tomb.
He's calling, wake up, child. It's your time to shine. You were born for such a time as this. He's calling, wake up, child. It's your time to shine. You were born for such a time as this.
You've been listening to Regaining Lost Ground with Pastor Shane Eidelman. You can find more information at westsidechristianfellowship.org. That's westsidechristianfellowship.org. And for all the latest on what God is doing with His ministry here, please be sure to follow us on most social media platforms. Westside Christian Fellowship is located 60 miles north of Los Angeles in Leona Valley, California. Thank you again for listening to today's message of Regaining Lost Ground, where we are reminded daily, times change, truth does not.
I want you to follow any cause.